Ons luister vandag weer na die gesprekke wat Charissa van 100.5 FM onlangs in Israel met plaaslike inwoners gehad het. Vandag besoek sy onder andere baie interessante verlei waar 'n oorlog wat in die Bybel na verwys word plaasgevind het en sy besoek 'n antieke wynkelder waar wyn meer as 2000 jaar gelede al gemaak was.
To all our powerful and wonderful listeners there in the Lower Veld, and hallo Amanda, and julle ook vandag. I've got an amazing lady with me. Her name is Noah, and she works in a winery, and I'm going to hand over to Noah, and she's going to tell us exactly about her name, who she is, and exactly what we do and where we're located. Noah.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you.
My name is Noah and I work for Psagot Winery. I'm in charge of all the digital and content and publicity as far as the winery. Right. And we are situated in the Jerusalem Mountain, northern to Jerusalem, in Benjamin region. It's also Benjamin Council, here in the heart of the Bible Land.
Wow.
When all took place, when Israeli started, the Israeli nation started, all our fathers and mothers' history, all happened around here. The same road that goes around the winery starts all the way, even before Beersheba, and continues to Jerusalem, where the temple was, continuing here to Shiloh, where the tabernacle was. So all the heart of the nation and the Bible took place around here.
And we're actually standing looking at the R60, which is one of the longest roads,
right,
as far as I know. You must just correct
60.
Me if I say wrong stuff. You're very welcome to correct me.
Yeah, Road 60, also called 60, called the Patriarch Road.
Patriarch Road. Wonderful.
Yes,
wonderful.
Because all our fathers and mothers, all the stories from the Bible, starting from A to Z, took place on the 60 road.
On the 60 road, isn't that awesome?
It's awesome. And we're in the middle, in the heart of the Bible Land. And we know that the story in the Bible called Tsne and Botsets, about two mountains, it happened here. See these two mountains?
Luister Ros, ek kyk nou juist na die twee berge. I'm looking at these two mountains as I'm standing here.
When King Saul was located here, in this mountain, you see this Arab village?
Yes.
It's called Java.
Java.
Same name as mentioned in the Bible.
All right.
And the Palestine, Plishtim, were here at this Arab village, which we see the back of it, which called Muhmus. Exactly this name appears in the Bible.
In the Bible.
Yes. When these were Plishtim, were thousands of peoples, and King Saul and his pair were only few hundreds, people started deserting the king because they were afraid the Plishtim were going to conquer them and kill them.
Okay.
So he was deserted, stayed with only a few men, and there was supposed to happen a battle just around where you see the gas station around here.
Right.
What happened was that it was a real danger.
Because they're not very far apart. If you're looking at them from our angle, from where we're standing distance-wise, maybe it's more a bird's eye view for me to say it's not that far apart. It's probably about, if you had to walk it, it would be.
It would be.
But if you're standing here.
If you're standing here and two mountains are right in front of each other. So the battle was supposed to happen here in the valley with the gas station, you see.
Right.
But what happened was that even though King Saul got scared and people deserted him, his son, Jonathan,
yes,
was smart. He used a strategic warrior trick. He took only his few men with buckets and sticks and walked all the way down. See this valley, the ground valley? He walked all the way in between two mountains. He came from the back at nighttime, and they were not expecting people to come from the back. And there is great echo between these two little tongues get together at the bottom of the mountains.
Right.
They called Sne and Botsets. So in between they came, only a few men with buckles and sticks, made a lot of noise. They scared them away.
With the echo, it must have sounded tremendous.
Yes, before dawn. And they were coming, climbing, and starting, they started run. And the police team that was standing here started being upset. They started killing each other, and they evacuated and ran away. This is how King Saul and his men were rescued.
Because of Jonathan. And I mean, I can recall Jonathan was a very good friend of David.
Right. Yes. And by the way, it was known that that same trick was used thousands of years later, so when the British people were sitting in Israel, they used the same trick.
So it's part of a warfare strategy.
Yes.
A legacy that was rooted here from the times of Saul through his son Jonathan.
Yes.
I thought it was awesome that is something you don't just read.
Right.
We don't just read it in the scripture. It gets lost. It gets lost through translation. It gets the ancient parts of time gets lost through all the translations.
Right.
That's awesome.
When you walk up the mountains here and you know that it happened here, everything that you see here is real. It's not just a story, that you know that you are connected.
Yes, it feels like you're part of it. You can actually visualize it and see it, and you look at the distance and you think, wow, really? This is what I read in the Bible, and this is where I am, and this is what happened here.
Right.
Super.
And also, you should know that in Hebrew, there is a word for flavor, for taste.
Mm.
It's called ta'am.
Ta'am.
Yes. You want to drink something or you want to eat something, and you want to flavor it, you say, what is the ta'am? What is the same word? Has another meaning.
Okay.
It's the reason.
The reason.
Yes. So the word tam has two meanings. One meaning is the flavor. The second is the reason.
Okay.
What is the tam that you live in Israel or you don't live in Israel? What is the tam for you being a Jew or being evangelistic? So we know that the wine has a lot of flavor.
Yes.
But we also feel it's a reason.
Yes.
That we make wine here because there's a reason why we're here. Why we're specifically on this specific land. Not because it's only good for the wine, for the flavor of it.
Yes.
It also represents the connection that
because
we have
that's here. What I want to say. You said earlier there's three, if I recall, there's three reasons. It's the geographic, it's the spiritual, the biblical.
And the historical.
And the historical. It's three reasons that affect the wine in the area.
Yes.
Which is awesome. That's wow.
Yes, it is.
Ons kom nou terug.
Sherissa vertel ons meer van haar besoek in Jerusalem en hoe dit wat daar gebeur het meer as 2000 jaar gelede steeds relevant is vandag in vandagse lewe en veral met betrekking tot Christene self hier in Suid-Afrika.
Okay, now tell us a bit about the owners and the history of this place.
Okay, so it all started when Yaakov and Naama Berg were their students at their 20 years old, were just got married and had a few babies. They lived in Psagot settlement in a very old trailer, and there was in between the vineyards. When they started as a hobby, starting making wines, a couple hundred bottles, it came out amazing. And they thought, why don't we try to start a business? They hired a very old storage with used machinery, consulted some professional people, and they started making wine. And since you know what we saw in the movie, that part of making good wine is aging it in good oak barrels, French we use. So the place should be cold, but still humid. And making barrel room is a very expensive thing. So they thought, where can we put the barrels for aging? And in the backyard of their home, in between the vineyards, there was an ancient cave that was full with mud almost to the top. And they thought, you know what? Maybe we'll try to empty it out. It's a cold place. It's humid. It's going to be great for the wine. And as we said, since we're here at a very strategic place in the middle heart of the Bible land, we cannot just start do whatever we want with the land or with its treasure. So they had to get approval from the Antiqua authorities. And after this great procedure in Israel of getting the authorities and their approvals, they gathered some friends and volunteers and they started digging and emptying the cave with little buckets and spoons, and for about 3 weeks took them 3 weeks to empty this great place. They had to empty the sand into a great container and to look through if they found anything interesting and to report about it to the antique authorities. And they did. The antique authority, to begin with, thought it was a graveyard that was full with mud.
Really?
But they were mistaken. Because once Yaakov and Amma and their friends and volunteers found bones, right, they found bones, probably for animals or stuff.
Okay, yes.
They found antique dishes. They found, when they hit the bottom, they found genuine tiles. So they realized it was a structure. It was a manufacturing something. Because tiles cannot be in a graveyard.
But no, they're not just automatically placed there.
They found a great, great, great hole and a great big, big, big round circle stone, and they realized already that something was being made here. But the light came when they found this coin. This, of course, is a replica of the genuine coin.
Right.
And the genuine coin is about this size. Later on, I'll see if I have a genuine one that has the one. But this is a replica of the coin that they found, and when they came back to the authorities to report about it, they were shocked because they said, you know, see, this one side of the coin has this amphora. It's a dish, an antique dish that used to be for wine aging at the Great Revolt time, more than 2,000 years ago.
So it already had to do with wine.
Yes. And it here has the sign of second year for the Great Revolt. And on the other side of the genuine coin, this is a sticker because we glue it on our red wines.
Okay.
There was an image of a grape leaf with the engraving for the freedom of Zion.
Awesome.
And it was awesome because it was a game changer. Because they said, you know what, Yaakov and Amma, you thought you were starting a winery, but at that specific place, Jews had winery more than 2,000 years ago.
So, in other words, it had already manifested. It was already there.
Yes.
And it took them to sort of remove the veil to carry on with the progress of what was already there. Hey?
Because in between, when the Jews were exiled from this country, as I said, the land didn't grow anything, it was just vanished. Mm-hmm. And there are historical records of Mark Twain walking out on Binyamin Mountains saying, do not come here, only malaria is and trouble.
Yes.
But after the Israeli came back to the homeland, and you see that Israeli and the land starting to flourish and bringing great fruits, and we see within the years that great wine is being made here, great olive oil, not just Asp Sakot Winery. All the Benjamin wine is being appreciated and being rewarded all over the world, which is amazing. And you think about, okay, so how interesting can wine be? Well, it is. It's the height and the amount of liquid that has in the ground, the minerals, the sun. So the more the conditions that the vine can get, the more leisure it can be to make the natural process of photosynthesis and making sugar in the grape has a lot of impact. And since we said that the vine is like the Jewish nation, it's a strong tree with a delicate impact, that everything is important and makes a difference, but it cannot be destroyed easily. And this is the dissonance effects that we feel that the vine, that's why it's so spiritual, that's why it connects, that's why in every ceremony that the Jews has, they represent it with wine, because it connects and uplifts you from the natural or regular basis.
And in our teachings, the New Testament or the Messianic writings, as known, the one scripture says, I am the vine, okay? So I want to ask, who are you grafted into? Not yourself, but to every listener that is listening to this radio station. I just think it's so awesome what we are speaking about the wine and the vine.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you, Noah.
Thank you.
Dit was 'n baie interessante insetsel deur Sharissa oor haar besoek onlangs in Jerusalem.